The Armchair Illini Podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the best online ticketing site you can find. Why? Well, because it pulls from every other available ticketing site to give you the best price possible. There's no need anymore to check out 10 different ticketing sites to find the deal you're looking for. SeatGeek basically does all of that for you. Not only that, but SeatGeek has a value system sorted by color to let you know if you are actually getting a good deal on your tickets or not. You can sort by best value, lowest price, and more. Now here's the best part. If you use code ARMCHAIRILLINOIS, all one word, you can get $20 off your first order. So what are you waiting for? Attend your next unforgettable sporting event or concert by checking out SeatGeek today. Again, use promo code ARMCHAIRILLINOIS, all one word, and get $20 off your first order.
They're holding their breath in champagne. They'll let you know. Peters on the roll. Looking for the end zone, throwing, it's caught! Daniel Barker, touchdown!
In the end zone, it is caught! Casey Washington's got it! Illinois pulled off the upset!
Welcome to the Armchair Illini Podcast, Twitter Space Edition. We're going to be talking all things Illinois football from this past weekend. Illinois is ranked, which is very, very cool. We put up a poll earlier that's still up if you want to go vote on that as to how long you think Illinois will be ranked for, 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or the whole season, the rest of the season. Interested to hear y'all's thoughts on that. And then obviously the big win last night, which was super cool. It was awesome to be there in person for it last night. It was a two-hour drive for my wife and I, so we got back at like 2:30 a.m. last night, which is all good. Always worth it. So yeah, it was great.
Yeah, man, dude, tell me a little bit more about the experience. So I know you kind of went last minute and drove in from Indianapolis area, and how'd it go? How was, like, when'd you get there? All that good stuff.
Yeah, so we got there about an hour early, I want to say. Like you said, it was super last minute, so we didn't have time to make a ton of like pregame plans or anything like that. We just kind of showed up and went straight to the game. So we waited until Friday to get tickets. On SeatGeek, they finally kind of dropped low enough to where, like, you know, the $20 code on SeatGeek would get us a pretty good deal. Because, you know, it's just my wife and I. We didn't really have two friends that we could go with to get the four-pack. So we're kind of waiting on SeatGeek and all that sort of stuff to drop. And once they did, we're like, okay, let's just do it. We decided to do it 24 hours before. Kind of an impulse decision. But, you know, I think I texted you that there was 45K in the stadium before the announcement. And I think the official number was like 44.9, something like that. So I was very close. But the vibes were good. The crowd was pretty loud. I thought everyone was really into it. There were a lot of Iowa fans, which wasn't too surprising to me. I know they travel pretty well, but I thought the game day experience was pretty good. My wife and I didn't really get drinks or eat a ton of food or anything like that because we were trying to save some money. But I can't speak on those aspects of the game day experience. But the actual vibes of the stadium itself were pretty cool, and it was awesome to be there. Really, it was all full pretty much except for the top right of the upper east balcony, which, you know, if you beat Indiana, that section's probably full. I still think you're kind of paying the cost of that Indiana loss in some ways. And I think if you're ranked and 5-0 coming into that game, it's probably a sellout. But all in all, I thought it was a pretty cool experience. And the last Illinois football experience I had like that was probably 2016 North Carolina, and that was fun for like 10 minutes.
And literally 10 minutes.
And obviously they lost. So it was really cool to be a part of that. I hope homecoming this week is packed out. That'd be awesome. And I really hope that Tommy DeVito is playing quarterback.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so for those of you that are listening, if you guys used our SeatGeek code, here's a little pro tip. Just make a new account. Just make a burner email, use this code again, and then you can get $20 off again. I know a couple people, I'm not going to name any names, but have probably used three different emails on good old SeatGeek, so be sure to do that. But no, man, like, The crowd looked good. I think the student section really showed up. I mean, anytime you can get students to pack the stadium, it's just tough because, you know, I think I don't want to put a damper on anything, but you would expect over probably 50,000 to show up. Yeah. I know, you know, numbers are kind of arbitrary at this point, but, you know, you just want to get closer to that 60,000 sellout. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like if you don't sell out this game, you know, you're never going to sell out. Because this was the moment, you know, perfect timing. It's not like an early morning. Obviously, I don't want to say, you know, it's easy to do what you did because I'm sure a lot of people would have had to do the same thing.
Yeah.
But just a little disappointed in the crowd number. You know, I know I didn't go, so I'm kind of speaking, you know, out of my butt. But basically, you know, you just want to try to sell out Minnesota, try to repeat that effort. I hope. You know, the guys in the advertising department, all that, kind of go as hard as they did this past week and kind of lower the prices a little bit, you know, try to sell out for homecoming because it's just as big an event. And, you know, we're ranked for the first time in God knows when. So, and we just beat Wisconsin and Iowa for the first time since 1989.
Crazy. Which is
an amazing accomplishment. So, again, it kind of goes to say, if you don't sell out this game, then, you know, I don't think you're ever going to sell out. It's just really disappointing to see, like, Kansas or schools like that kind of sell out. But overall, really happy for the win. Like you said, the season kind of hinges on Tommy DeVito's ankle, quite literally. So, you know, if he's there, you know, this team can have a really special season. If he's not, then you kind of just hope that Art Sikowski can win you one of these next six games. Get you to a bowl game, see what happens, and then kind of go from there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty confident that if Art is the quarterback for a while, you know, you probably are still a 7-5 team, but you're not a 9-3 team, which is what I think this team can be with DeVito, and I think that's kind of the difference. So it's a big difference in terms of the kind of bowls that you'll play in and maybe a Big Ten championship. So it's important that DeVito's healthy, obviously.
Did you see him run? You said you saw him running.
I saw someone in a number three jersey take part in celebration, and then I heard other people say that he wasn't around. Like he didn't come back after he went back into the locker room or something like that. So I don't know. I thought I saw him on the field with everybody after the game, but maybe not. I know his family was there, which is pretty cool. And yeah, I mean, we can get into last night a little bit because that's how they got to this ranking today, and kind of go through a game since we didn't talk about it yesterday. Obviously, 9-6 win, you know, no touchdowns, which is kind of a bummer, and the DeVito injury kind of being the big, kind of the big thing, like hanging over this game, hanging over the ranking a little bit too, because it's like, oh yes, we're number 24, like we're ranked for the first time in 11 years, but like. We might have a backup quarterback playing.
Still got to win one more game, you know?
Yeah. I think there is that kind of hanging over it. But, I mean, a win is a win. And there was a moment where I thought that it was going to be a loss that's just as bad as Indiana after that near fumble recovery touchdown. I was in a really bad place for a few minutes. To win the game is great, and to come out on top there is something that this team doesn't do probably in the first couple weeks of the season or last year. So I definitely think progress was made there. But Alex, what were just some of your takeaways like from the game?
Okay, first off, since you mentioned that, I want to hear about the vibes after one that Sikowski interception where he threw it directly to an Iowa cornerback at like the 10-yard line, and Barry Lunny kind of made me want to like fling my phone at the wall. And then that one where, you know, the fumble and it turned into a touchdown, you know, and just before you answer, there were so many moments in that game where I was like, all right, here we go. Like, this is where, you know, we have this huge opportunity to beat a rival in front of a pretty decent Illini crowd. And then, something goes wrong, you know, our backup or our starting quarterback gets hurt. And then, you know, we have some things going on. And then a punt hits Isaiah Williams in the head, or you know, he gets blown up on a bubble screen, fumbles, and but then the defense kind of saved the day, literally. Like, you know, you don't win without Seth Coleman's, you know, hurry to get the interception. So, but anyways, describe the vibes after those two moments.
So, just for like perspective, so you can kind of picture what I'm looking at. So, my wife and I are sitting in the horseshoe, like on the home side of the horseshoe to the very far left, like barely in the horseshoe. We're like three rows up, and I am looking at the screen and also watching the team because the team is at the other end of the field. So I don't have a super great view of what's going on because a great drive. I think that's the drive where Sitkowski had a couple awesome throws. And so I'm looking back at the screen. I think it's like second and goal or something or whatever. And watching Sitkowski roll out on the screen and throw it right to an Iowa defense. It was just disbelief. I think most people, if y'all were at the game and want to speak on your experience too, it just was like, what on earth just happened? Like, this is the first real drive of the game where we're this far down the field, and it feels like you just run it three times and you're probably going to get in there. And in a game where you don't have many points to throw it away, even if you were just get a field goal, it felt like you were going to win the game.
So, and you have Chase Brown.
And you have Chase Brown, right, exactly. So I didn't – it was just disbelief. And that's the best way I can describe that play in particular. But – and, man, the three Isaiah Williams fumbles too, like, vibes were pretty bad there too. Like, it just felt like any time the ball was thrown his way, it was like, oh, boy, this might hit the ground.
The punt was the worst one. The punt was bad.
Yeah, the drop snap. I think that was the first series after DeVito got hurt, and he lined up in quarterback for the first play. And I was like, all right, we're going to see Isaiah Williams take a direct snap, and then he dropped it, which is kind of unfortunate. And then the fumble that was a touchdown that ended up not being a touchdown, to be honest, and I've heard some other people say this too, I did not see the elbow on the replay that we saw in the stadium. I was looking at his butt, seeing if it would hit the ground or if he was laying on top of the defender. So I could not see the elbow on screen, at least in the stadium. I don't know what other angles that that the TV had or whatever else, but from where I was sitting and looking on the screen, I could not see the elbow hit the ground. But I'm glad that somebody saw an elbow, and that ended up getting reversed. Just that huge momentum swing from, like, this is a call that usually goes against Illinois every single time. We got it. We made the field goal to win the game. Like, just an intense vibe swing from one end of the spectrum to the opposite end in a few minutes. So, yeah, it was dead silent in there as that referee gave the call, and then just, like, an explosion of joy and happiness when he – you know, said that, you know, he was down. So
yeah, no, I'm not gonna lie. When it was ruled as a fumble and they were reviewing it for the touchdown, I think probably me and about everybody else in the student section there went through all five stages of grief in the span of like 2.5 minutes.
yeah. No, it's legit. Like, I just watched Art like lay on the ground as the guy was running towards the end zone, and I was just sitting like in disbelief, like, of course this is how it's gonna end. And then it didn't end that way, which is awesome. But I can say also too, and if any of you in this chat were somehow sitting around me, you can attest to this, but as soon as Chase Brown motioned out of the backfield, I screamed, Barry Lunny, what are you doing? And knew that something bad was about to happen. Like, I could just feel it as soon as Chase Brown motioned out wide from the backfield. Like, just there's a couple plays just in the moment that was just play call wise, I just could not believe what I was watching. Like, what are we doing here? So great to get a W, but there was definitely a lot of moments that were just like, man.
Barry Lunny was tripping, man. Especially we were like, it was like 3rd and 6 or something, and then we threw like a bubble screen to like a walk on wide receiver, and then he lost like 6 more yards, and then the just roll out Sikowski, try to hit Chase Brown, and it wasn't there, and then Sikowski just was like, oh shoot, and then he just literally on TV it looked like he just handed the ball off to that Iowa cornerback. It was really bad. But how were the vibes when, you know, that play with Seth Coleman got to the quarterback and then Matthew Bailey had that huge, huge interception with like a minute and a half left? How was that? Because I can only imagine.
Yeah, it felt like a big exhale, because I think a lot of us had been waiting for, you know, the defense had really held Iowa, obviously, to basically no points. But, like, there hadn't really been a turnover, or, like, we got them pinned inside the five a couple times on some great punts, but they ran a QB sneak every time, so we couldn't get a safety. And so to finally kind of have a release of, like, an interception, kind of like a game-clinching interception, that was the loudest that I felt the stadium. Because, like, even, like, when they won, like, when the clock hit zero, that, like, final Iowa play had went on for so long.
That was, like, 30 seconds.
Yeah, that it wasn't, like, this explosion of, like, we just won the game. But the pick definitely had more of that vibes, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Definitely that last defensive stand with the MI doing number 9 and just like all the shouting and screaming from the student section. Yeah. You could tell it really messed up the Iowa snap count. And they couldn't really get anything going during that last drive.
Yep. Yeah, that was super cool.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, just the energy, the noise, like you don't – like it's been a long time since I've really felt Illinois football be like that. So it was really cool to be part of that.
Yeah, definitely. It's funny because earlier in the week when we were talking, we were previewing it, we were just like, it's going to come down to like a special teams kick or something like that. And then, you know, our backup walk-on kicker, who we were kind of making fun of, you know, I forgot which game it was when he was doing kickoffs. I think it was probably last week. Yeah. And then he comes through clutch. He even got like post-game availability.
Yeah.
It's just classic. But I mean, how was the student section too? It looked pretty full.
The student section was absolutely rocking. I think it was pretty full. They had overflow for this game. So some people were in other sections, like down on the lower level. I remember at one point, this was in like maybe the second or third quarter related to Pinton, but they did an announcement for like some kind of NFT partnership in the stadium, and just about everybody booted. And the dude next to me was joking, "Wow, I can't wait to mint my Fabrizio Pinton NFT." Sure enough, wins us the game. Might be worth doing that now.
That's so funny. I was really worried that the muffed punt was going to be the story of the game, just because, you know, I think a lot of the previewing going into this weekend was, all right, special teams might be a difference maker here, and for Illinois, for the worst. And I really was scared that the muffed punt was going to be the difference, but defense came through. Backup kicker made all of his kicks, which is incredible for a game solely decided on field goals. Like, that's just unbelievable. And then Hugh Robertson was just unbelievable. Just he's been pretty average all year, I've thought, but the punts that he had to pin Iowa inside the five were just super cool, like just really good stuff. So I feel really good about Hugh. We were really worried that, you know, after the first couple of weeks, like obviously he's not Blake Hayes, but you know, not many people are. But it was still cool to see him kind of step up in a game where special teams is so important.
Yeah, I mean, how was the game kind of feeling, you know, midway through, like basically second and third quarter, where it was basically just a defensive back and forth and kind of this game of like who's going to screw up first? And then, you know, like I was looking at the stats because unfortunately I was working last night, so I couldn't watch it full time. But, you know, I checked the stats and Artsikowski had like 10 completions, but for like 17 yards. And I was like, what are they doing? Are they like just like doing bubble screens the entire time? They don't trust them to go downfield. Like, how did it feel, you know, second and third quarter?
Well, in my opinion, when I even texted you when DeVito went out, and I didn't have great internet in Memorial Stadium, I never do. And so I wasn't getting any DeVito updates. I had no idea if he was coming back or wasn't coming back. But like, I had the same feeling you did of like, oh no, all these people came to watch this game and DeVito got hurt in the first quarter and we might lose this moment. Like, that's immediately where my mind went to. And with Art, you know, we know his Rutgers stats before he kind of came to Illinois, like just interceptions galore. He obviously isn't great. And then like Kansas earlier in the day, like lost their Heisman quarterback and then their backup quarterback was like throwing dimes. And I was just like, why can't we have that? But anyway, I was just really worried that Art was going to do like an Art Sitkowski thing, and he did, but we still won. So it was a little strange. And like I said, I didn't know DeVito's status. So I kind of literally every time the offense came out, I was looking, and I just every time saw the tall, skinny number nine. And I was like, oh man, just really hope we pull this out. But yeah, I mean, when the defense, honestly, like, I don't know y'all who were at the game, you can say more to this, but I was looking forward more to watching the defense than I was the offense, which is just
kind of. I will say it was definitely louder in the stadium when the defense was on the field. And as for the situation with DeVito, from my perspective, I was able to see him go into the tent. And then maybe about 10 to 15 minutes later, he came back out of the tent, went on a bike for a second, just kind of like work out his leg. But he sat on the sideline, put on a headset. And of course, that's where he sat for the rest of the game.
Okay, so he was at least outside, like on the bench.
Yeah, I mean, because it was just a reaggravation of that same ankle injury that he suffered at Syracuse. And so it was him just kind of like, he needs to take it off. He might not be back for the next game. I hope he is, because honestly, I feel like that could decide who wins that game for Minnesota.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's a good, like, small little transition point, because obviously Illinois won the game 9-6. Vibes are good, even though it was ugly, and now they're ranked. And we've got Minnesota this week, and looking at the poll that we put up here, a lot of y'all have voted, which is awesome. And I want to say, let's see here, 56% of y'all think Illinois is going to be ranked for the rest of the season, and 29% of y'all think it's going to end after this week. Obviously, a lot of that depends on, Tommy DeVito's status, and hopefully he'll be able to play on Saturday. The frustrating thing is for us, and I get it, I understand it from a gamesmanship perspective, is we're going to have no idea who the quarterback's going to be until Saturday. That just feels like the Bielema way to do this. Until I hear otherwise, I'm just going to assume it's Art Sitkowski starting at quarterback on Saturday. And if Tommy DeVito's the one who runs out there, then great. But until I hear otherwise, that's kind of my stance. And since I have that stance, I think it'll be hard for Illinois to win on Saturday. But those are just some of my thoughts on this upcoming game here.
Yeah, I mean, if DeVito's out, which I assume he probably is, anytime you re-aggravate a pretty big injury or even have like a sprained ankle, you're going to be out at least a week. So I assume that he's probably going to be out. Like you said, we're probably not going to know for sure until Saturday morning, or Friday night, whatever. But I mean, here's the thing. I think it's going to be like very similar to what it was yesterday with Minnesota, because Minnesota is very similar to Illinois, in which they don't make many mistakes. You know, they hang their head on their defense. They have a game manager of a quarterback. I think it's still Tanner Morgan, who's like 34 years old. It's just that kind of game. So I'm not too confident. I really just want Tommy DeVito to come back at his most healthy point, because we do have six games left. Overall, you just need to win one to get to the bowl. I know we could shoot for more, but I think he should just come back whenever he feels best. Try not to rush it. If you lost yesterday, then probably I would say, try to do what you can to come back. But I think you got a little bit of cushion, which is nice.
Yeah, I think, like you said, like Illinois is a team that doesn't make a ton of mistakes. Minnesota is very similar. The thing that worries you about Art is he's not – he does make mistakes. Yeah, that's kind of the issue. Tommy DeVito doesn't throw interceptions very much, hardly at all. He usually makes the right decision, and Art kind of doesn't really do any of that. So it's, adds that extra level of nerves. There's probably one or two more turnovers than there would usually be, which, kind of makes Minnesota even more of a favorite, just because Illinois is going to make one or two more mistakes than they should to win the game. So it'll just be an interesting dynamic on Saturday.
Yeah. Crazy thing is Minnesota just lost to Purdue, yesterday or last week, I believe. And that's pretty surprising. Purdue was, they were a very up and down team. you know, very explosive on the offensive side of the ball, but it's a winnable game. And that's the thing, you know, Illinois has such a great chance to win the Big Ten West. You know, if you look at Minnesota and Purdue, those are probably your two top levels of competition. I know Nebraska is 2-1 in their conference, but, you know, they're kind of doo-doo anyways. So just you really want to make moves on this opportunity, because who knows, again, when you'll get a chance to be a Big Ten contender. So I would rather him come back next week instead of kind of rushing it, because I know he's not going to be 100% by this Saturday.
Well, they've got a bye after Minnesota, I believe, so he'll have 2 weeks, basically, if he's out this week, which would be nice.
Yeah, a big concern for me personally is losing Taz Nicholson and Isaiah Williams this week to concussions, seeing how they're going to be able to fare through the protocol, and, of course, missing your top wide receiver for a key game that could help decide the course of the Big Ten West. You don't really want to see that. And Taz has been really good in the backfield, helping to just pick up plays, make sure that running back doesn't get too far.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, I think Isaiah is going to want to put this last game as far behind him as possible. So hopefully that concussion isn't too serious. Obviously, concussions, head injuries are always just super scary, and hope the best.
Miami Dolphins. Taz.
What did you say, Alex?
I said Miami Dolphins. Yeah, definitely just want to be safe too.
Yeah, just this whole spiel with concussions recently, I just don't like the vibes. That's all I'll say.
Yep. No, absolutely. It felt like, and another weird thing in the stadium, and I don't know if y'all felt this too, but like, it felt like there was an injured Illinois player literally every play, and I just had to hope that it wasn't Chase Brown every single time. Like, I was just like, at some point it's going to be Chase Brown, but thankfully it never was. But, oh man, it literally felt every time, between every play, the refs had to say, like, we're taking an injury timeout for a player on the field or whatever. Like, it was wild.
Yeah, it started with Zy Chrysler. And then you're just like, God dang it, like, here we go. And then Tommy DeVito gets injured, Taz gets injured. You're just like, this is so classic. And then,
not going to lie, I think that the Chrysler injury may have not actually been an injury, because I saw Bielema on the sideline, like, put his arm down, like, go, go. And then I saw Zach Chrysler go to the ground immediately after. So I think that might have been a fake injury timeout.
Interesting.
Not sure on that, but it might have been a tactic.
I was too far away to get that vibe, but maybe an interesting pickup there. But
I was vibe when Isaiah's fumbled during the punt. That thing was, I saw that live or not.
Oh, I mean, I was right in the north end zone, and basically it bounced right out of his hands into the hand of the Iowa defender. And all of us were just like, are you kidding me? It's pure luck that he was right there in front of the ball. If you have a few yards of separation, I bet you that Isaiah could probably pick that ball up again.
Like, why do we have this issue? Like, every year I feel like it's a punt returner, kick returner issue. It's just annoying, but all good. Hopefully we have, like, a good enough – because I think Isaiah is probably our best option at that, because I think we tried some other people, like the South Dakota transfer, and he, like, fumbled two times in a row. So hopefully we have, like, a good enough option to not just shoot ourselves in the foot. Someone that could just literally catch the ball.
I don't even think Iowa, if I remember right, Iowa didn't even score off the muffed punt.
They didn't.
Defense.
They did not.
Crazy.
I mean, Iowa got that pick at the 1 yard line, and then they got screwed so badly that they went back to the 23 yard line, and then they missed the kick.
Yeah.
Iowa's not good. I mean, 9-6 against Art Sikalski. Like, how can you just not score one touchdown? I mean, obviously credit to Ryan Walters and his crew, but man, that is some anemic offense there.
I mean, but Iowa did put on tape this Saturday that if you have a tight end who can catch a football, there's a weakness to exploit there. I mean, Kendall Smith was getting targeted very, very frequently against that tight end, and him and Sidney Brown were kind of taking turns on 84. And
Sam LaPorta, just like how we flowed through Chase Brown, it seemed like Iowa, even though they didn't put up much, they flowed through Sam LaPorta yesterday.
Yep, they absolutely did. And
You know, I think it was I heard a couple people mention it as something to watch, just because Illinois' linebackers, you know, haven't been their best unit this year, and trying to figure out, all right, who that group could cover a tight end, and it's like, well, none of them are really fast enough, but Sidney Brown's probably not big enough, and Kendall Smith, you know, is better more as a ball hawk than, you know, kind of man-to-man coverage. So, it's definitely interesting, and I'll be interested to see what happens moving forward when they play teams who have, you know, decently capable tight ends on the field who can catch passes.
Yeah, Sam Laporta, a guy who Lovie Smith didn't care to offer, which is a very classic situation. But I'm really interested to see what we do at Michigan at the Big House. That'll be a fun one to watch. I hope it's not a curb stomping. Michigan's really good, and they got some really, really dynamic pieces on offense. So it's going to be really cool to see, you know, Michigan's offense go up against Illinois' defense, because Illinois' defense has been straight up elite, and, you know, they haven't allowed, I don't think they've let up a touchdown at home.
Nope.
Obviously, they'll not be on the road.
Nope.
Yeah, and I saw the little tear eyes. Don't worry, man. We'll still try to make it a fun one.
It'll be interesting. I've heard the marching Illini is going to be traveling to that game, and I wonder how far they're going to try to put them up in the stands to mitigate them.
The worst thing, and I know Ant agrees with this, but is the Mr. Brightside. I'm not a fan of that. The song's not bad, but I just, the way that it's done at Michigan at the Big House, I just find it so corny. Just because, I mean, not a bad song, but the Mr. Brightside's really corny. I mean, if you compare it to like the Jump Around at Wisconsin, which is really cool, even though I hate them too, and then the Iowa Wave, like the Mr. Brightside's just not cool, especially for a place as packed as the Big House. So that's my take. A very, very bold take, I know.
I would love to see Illinois figure out the light show thing. They like try to do it at night games or whatever. It's like everybody takes out their Fighting Illini app and it like does the lights or whatever.
Like
and
the only basketball thing?
Yeah. And only like 5% of the people in Memorial Stadium are doing it. So it's just like not that cool. But it could be cool if you could make it easier to participate. And I think having to download the app in a stadium where I cannot get internet already is a little difficult. But
yeah.
I think that this game, it was definitely the best that I've ever seen it. And I think that's probably just because that was the largest crowd I've ever seen while I've been a student here.
Yeah, but they don't even like, do they even turn off the lights in the stadium?
They don't.
Exactly. So it's like, why are we doing this? Like, so if you like cut the lights, like how they do with basketball, like it would look pretty cool, but
the only thing is cutting those lights. The lights in Memorial are pretty old, and if you try to cut them that fast, they take like a good minute to turn back on. Like I've been in the stadium when I'm turning on the lights before, and I would say it probably takes them like another minute and a half to 2 minutes to get them back up to full brightness. You're not going to get it that fast.
Yeah, Memorial needs some updates. That's for sure. I'm sure that's next on Josh Whitman's list. But the funny thing is, the student section looked great. I'm sure you can kind of attest to it, but on the BTN broadcast, it panned to the student section, and like the camera was on like a group of kids, and then someone, obviously I'm sure he was a little bit inebriated, but he went to the side of the camera and yelled F Iowa, and then the picture just cut right then and there. So
yeah, they were quite enthusiastic yesterday, I will say.
Yeah, especially if you do a night game, you know, early in the morning, everyone's still going to be at block, stuff like that. But if you do an evening game, like you're going to get a good student turnout if you're good. And not only a good student turnout, but a very liquid-infused student section, if you know what I mean. So really cool to see the student section, honestly, because the better that place is, like the better Memorial Stadium's going to be.
Absolutely. I hope that they... as, you know, Brett Bielema sticks around and Illinois becomes very good for a long time, that there are some game day traditions of some sort at Memorial Stadium that really, you know, take hold and become really cool. And the intro, I said it week one against Wyoming, or week zero, I guess. But the intro is so sick with Thunderstruck, and you can see him coming down the tunnel. Like, that's awesome. There's a lot of cool cool moments in there. And I'm sure as they maintain relevance, they'll find some more ways to make it an even cooler experience. But overall, experience-wise, it was awesome. And obviously, with the W, that's makes it even better because the vibes would have been very bad had the score been flipped. So
I just want to see Brett Bielema just sprinting out of the tunnel. This is like how PJ Fleck like sprints with his team. Yeah.
Me thinking of the Dabo Swinney sprint, but it's fucking Brett.
Brett just like tanking it down the tunnel, like leading out all the players. That'd be amazing.
So, Alex, we put up that poll of how long you think Illinois will be ranked for, and now I'm just going to ask you directly. How long do you think Illinois will be ranked for?
Okay, so here's the thing. I think that Illinois, with Art Sikowski, will not win this next game, unfortunately. Sorry to be the doubt, but with that being the case, I don't think that they'll be ranked next week because they're going to drop this game, I think, especially if it's Art Sikowski. If it is Tommy DeVito, you know, I'd probably pick Illinois and then and they'll continue to be ranked. But just to kind of put a little dose of, you know, not pessimism, but realism into this, where I think it's going to be Art Sikowski. So I don't think you're going to be ranked for too long. But I think you do have a chance to take, you know, your next three with Nebraska, Michigan State, who's struggling, Purdue, who's kind of hit or miss. Obviously, it's going to be at home, too. Two of those three games are going to be at home. So if you get Tommy DeVito back, like you said, we have a bye next week after the Minnesota game. And then if you can get, you know, two out of three of those games heading into Michigan, I do think you have a really good shot to be ranked once again, you know, in the 20 to 25 range, kind of like how they are now. So to answer your question, I don't think this current ranking will last, but then it will probably come back because this team is pretty good once Tommy DeVito is in.
I hold nearly the exact same sentiment as Alex there, where we're probably going to lose this next game, but I have a feeling that we can pick up the next three after that. Going into Michigan, we'll be ranked again, but I think that Michigan game will definitely be the biggest testament for us this season, just seeing what we can do there.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be super cool, obviously, with Michigan being very good, to be ranked going into that game, to make it even more of a big deal, and maybe you get some more national love and attention on that game than I already would be. But I'm kind of the same camp. You know, I said this earlier, but until, you know, we hear otherwise, in my mind, Art Sikowski is starting on Saturday. So that's kind of what I'm going off of. So I do think the ranking comes to an end after this week. But, you know, I think just like you guys, they'll be able to get it back. But also, I wouldn't be totally surprised. It just kind of depends on the game plan that Barry Lunny has in store for the offense with Sitkowski. It didn't really look like he knew how to pivot once Art got in the game, like what Art was comfortable with, what he could do. It felt like they started to figure it out, and then they, you know, would have him try to throw a pass into a crowded area at the goal line, basically. And so it felt very hit or miss game plan wise. So maybe with a week to refine it, I'm not saying they're going to be great, but, you know, if they can score 17 points and maybe one of those is scored by the defense, you know, you've probably got a chance to be in the game. So I still think it'll be close on Saturday, even if Art plays, just because it's homecoming. I think it'll be packed and the vibes will be very good on Saturday. So I do think it'll at least be close, and, you know, kind of whether or not Illinois wins will depend on who the quarterback is, in my opinion. So we'll see. But Illinois football is ranked, and we haven't been able to say that in 11 years. And even if it only lasts this week, so be it. It's just super cool that we have it now. And like you guys said, I think they'll be able to get it back in the future.
Yeah, I think it's also interesting to see, too, if Josh McCray comes back.
Yeah,
you know, having someone who could take the load off of Chase Brown will be huge because he can't get 30 carries, you know, every single game. And the Iowa game, he had about 31 carries, I believe. Reggie Love did what he could. But just having a different option out there, you know, maybe you can give Chase Brown a little bit of a rest during a majority of a drive, have someone that you can depend on to have a little bit more fresher legs in the goal line. I think that'll be huge. So I know he did dress for this past game. He's been out since the Wyoming game, which is, you know, after I forgot, like 5-6 weeks ago. So Hopefully you can get Josh McCray back, have a healthy squad, and maybe get one of the two guys who got concussions this past week to be back. That would be, you know, an ideal scenario. So interesting to see, because Illinois and Minnesota are very, very similar, I think.
I will say, I did see Josh McCray on the sidelines after the game. He came up to the north end zone for alma mater. And that shoulder that he injured, it was very wrapped up. Like, you could tell that there was quite an amount of gauze that they had put on that shoulder. So I'm not sure how good he's looking on the timeline right now, but he did suit for today.
Well, I do think I saw some people speculate that there's probably some gamesmanship going on, you know, with having him go through warm-ups or whatever, or light warm-ups or whatever, and, you know, maybe trying to put the thought in the opponent's head that he might play, whatever. I liked what I saw from Reggie Love last night. I think he ran a bit more sideways than forwards than I would have liked, but it still, he was making people miss, and he looked pretty electric at times. Just wish he had cut a couple of those more upfield than he ended up doing, but I was more impressed than I thought I would be with him after last night.
I thought McCray had a knee injury, but you know, either way, he probably has multiple injuries. I think Smith Marset from the Bears was watching Reggie Love today or last night and try to emulate what he saw there at the end of the game, because I had no idea what that guy was doing, going back to our initial conversation. The Bears.
No, for sure.
I don't even want to talk about the Bears anymore, man. I just don't even know.
Well, what's great is we have a good Illinois football team to talk about. Usually, you know, if the Bears are bad, Illinois is also bad. And so, like, we're just waiting for basketball games to start. So it's kind of nice to have this feeling where, like, basketball media day is, like, the fifth thing on my mind and not, like,
no one even talked about it.
Yeah. And, you know, Underwood preseason press conferences, like, don't mean much to me anyway, but he's just going to say that everybody's great and then, like, kind of believe the hype, and then they don't end up being as good as he said they would be. But that's usually how it goes.
Yeah, Underwood is he's a cap artist, man. I love him, yes. But cap artist for sure.
Yes. But I'm excited for basketball, obviously, but it's nice that it's not, like, the main thing during, like, the middle of football season. So it's cool to have a good football team to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I was thinking about, just thinking about how we're doing, where the team is right now, a few weeks ago, whoever it is over at CBK Report, I think it is, they put up, like, a post, and it was, like, teams that are already ready for basketball season, and they put us on that list, and I was like, did you even watch any of our games? This is maybe week four, and we were 2-1 or 3-1.
As you say, if it was coming off the Indiana loss, like, I would have probably agreed. I was in a very dark place after that Indiana game. I'm pretty much over it now because I think you've made up for it. But, like, still,
that was a rough week. I think that was the week that shout out to Charlie Hustle, by the way. I think they sent us shirts.
Dude, I did not even want to look at those shirts.
And I was like, I might send these back because these are just – I think I got those on the day of the Indiana game. I was so excited, and then that shebang happened. I was like, okay.
Yeah, but those shirts were cool, man. I wore one on Saturday under the orange sweatshirt. So, definitely bad time to get those in the mail for sure. And hopefully they don't have another Indiana game. I think they got it out of their system early, which is nice. And who knows, if they beat Indiana, maybe they don't learn from that game and they lose to Virginia the next week, even though the Virginia is pretty horrible. But you know, Illinois is 5-1. They're ranked. The big game against Minnesota this week, all eyes will be on who suits up as QB1 on Saturday. We're hoping for DeVito. And if Art's the man, he's the man. And we're going to ride with them on Saturday, and hopefully they can keep it close. But thank you all for tuning in and listening to us talk about this game last night. Also, what the ranking means for this team, for this program. It's a big deal. And if you can get out to Memorial Stadium this Saturday, support these guys. They deserve it. You know, they came through in a big moment when they haven't been coming through in years past. So I think they've earned our butts in the seats. And
use the CK code.
Yes. If you haven't seen us talk about this or heard us talk about this yet, we do have a code with SeatGeek for $20 off your first order. And if you're like, I already used it, just make another email and use it that way. Code is Armchair Illinois. That's $20 off for you. My wife and I used it for this Iowa game. It basically took all of the fees off our order, which was super helpful, as fees can be pretty annoying. So please treat yourself to that, Armchair Illinois. That's the code over at SeatGeek for $20 off. Make your way to Memorial Stadium. The number 24 team in the country, Illinois football, they deserve it, and hopefully we get a good game on Saturday. So thank you all for joining us. We'll be back probably again at some point this week to talk about Minnesota and if any other news pops up. But thank you all for joining. Have a great rest of your evening, and we'll talk to you next time.
The Armchair Illini Podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the best online ticketing site you can find. Why? Well, because it pulls from every other available ticketing site to give you the best price possible. There's no need anymore to check out 10 different ticketing sites to find the deal you're looking for. SeatGeek basically does all of that for you. Not only that, but SeatGeek has a value system sorted by color to let you know if you are actually getting a good deal on your tickets or not. You can sort by best value, lowest price, and more. Now here's the best part. If you use code ARMCHAIRILLINOIS, all one word, you can get $20 off your first order. So what are you waiting for? Attend your next unforgettable sporting event or concert by checking out SeatGeek today. Again, use promo code ARMCHAIRILLINOIS, all one word, and get $20 off your first order.